Well, how you doing? Zach Costin,
TJ Laramie,
Adam Henrique,
Joe Siddle, Megan
Augusta, Tyrone Crawford.
Holy mackinaw, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody, and welcome back to the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports podcast presented by Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm your host for the Wind City Sports Podcast every Monday, anywhere podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and again, anywhere podcasts are found. Coming to you a little bit late today, but again, Windsor's only local sports podcast, bringing you interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more, and as well running down all that local sports news. We have a strong social media presence on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that at WinCity_sports. So please give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be, for whatever you may use. We also have a YouTube channel. So again, like, follow, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, teammates, training partners about the Win City Sports Podcast, and let us know what you think. Give us some feedback. Let us know. But today, without further ado, is Easter Monday. Monday, April 18th, 2022. And it's episode 252 of Wind City Sports. And we have a really cool interview coming up for you in a little bit. Today on Wind City Sports, we will kick off the show talking about the Windsor Spitfires, as we always do. Lots to talk about with them as the playoffs are actually starting this Thursday at home. Talk about that in a little bit, and as well after the interview, run down a lot more local sports news on the Windsor Express basketball team, see what we can gather on St. Clair College and or Lancers Junior C hockey, kind of wrapping up here in the area. So Junior B playoffs kicked off as well. We'll get into that and anything else we might be able to talk about, including Windsor's TJ Laramie fighting in the USC last week and another Windsorite fighting this weekend. But before we get into that, there's still more to talk about, but we do have a pro lacrosse player on the Wind City Sports Podcast today. Joining his brother as a guest of the Wind City Sports Podcast is Windsor's own and a Calgary Roughneck, a former Windsor Clipper as well, Kellen LeClaire, joining us on the Wind City Sports Podcast. Again, a great story about this guy that I didn't know, that most people don't know, and if you don't, you're going to be in for a treat. A really cool story coming from a kid who, again, is right here from Windsor, Ontario, playing pro sports, his favorite sport being lacrosse. So, you know, you can get a feel for the kind of guy he is, but of course playing all kinds of sports and just being a Windsor guy. Talk about that. He also has another career path. He's been involved in music after having to kind of step away from the game for a little bit. So again, something we'll talk about with Kellen LeClaire on the Wind City Sports Podcast today. We're going to get into that interview in a little bit, but before we do that, I got to tell you about Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC, the official sponsor of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Find the vehicle that suits you. Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC offers many different benefits and exclusive benefits to their dealership. Check them out and see why you should purchase from them. The boys down at the lab at Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC can help you provide niche financing options to suit your needs. To bring things up to speed, fill out your financing application form online and get in touch with a representative now. Get pre-approved for financing, making it easier than ever to shop for your desired Chevy, Buick, and GMC vehicle. Check out AmherstburgGM.com or check out the showroom in person on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg. Again, that's Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC, the official sponsor of the Wind City Sports Podcast. They've also revamped their website a bit, making it easier to search for vehicles for rather price, make, model, whatever it might be, color, you name it. So very easy to shop with AmherstburgGM.com. But we got to talk about the Windsor Spitfires. That's what's most important right now. Going forward in Windsor sports, the playoffs are just around the corner, kicking off this Thursday. So let's get into things. We could get caught up with the last week or so. Last time we talked, the Spits were red hot on one of the most modern record-breaking winning streaks for the team, on a 13-game winning streak with three games left. And out of those three games, they were able to gain just 1 point. The first game, in my mistake, actually, there's only two games left after the last time we talked. So these last two games on the road, out of the two games they were able to gain 1 point, but that first game was in Erie, losing to the Otters 3-2 was the final, and then going off to Guelph for their final game this past Saturday, losing 5-2. That being said, still first in the West, and that secures them a great spot going into the 2022 playoffs, the first time in 3 years, and they will square off against my rival, my other team, the Sarnia Sting. So obviously being the 8th seed, just squeezing in yesterday, Sunday, Easter Sunday was their last game, and clinched their 8th seed. And the schedule announced. So this Thursday and Saturday, we will have games at the WFCU Center, 7 p.m. games, Thursday night as always, kicking off the playoff against the Sarnia Sting. And some more accolades to talk about in regards to our Windsor Spitfires. Windsor's Wyatt Johnson claims the Eddie Powers Memorial Trophy for the OHL as the OHL's top scorer, recording 124 points and helped lead the Spits to the West Division Finals. Championship. So congratulations to Wyatt Johnson, the Dallas Stars prospect, on a stellar year, over 100 points in majority of his games, and getting some more accolades before the playoff starts and winning the Eddie Powers Memorial Trophy. So again, something else to talk about with our Windsor Spitfires killing it. Definitely, coming off a little bit cold there with the last two games, but playoffs just around the corner. It's just Thursday, it's a couple days away. They get a little break and ready to rock and roll. So hopefully, I'll be there this Thursday. Catch you guys. Let me know. But anyway, let's get into the interview for this week. We're talking about an NLL player, a National Lacrosse League professional lacrosse player. Former Windsor Clippers player and music producer here in Windsor and, I guess, in Ontario. Kellen LeClaire, here we go. Alrighty, so I'm now joined by a University of Windsor football alumni, a music producer, but a longtime lacrosse player. After playing for our Windsor Clippers in his junior days, he went off to the NLL's Calgary Roughnecks in 2016. Since then, made some life changes, but has decided to return to the game and play with his brother, Kellen LeClaire. Welcome to the show, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, Drake. Good to be on.
Yeah, dude. It's going to be fun. So, like I said, sure. Recently kind of came out of nowhere and re-signed, returned to the Roughnecks. To kick things off, let's quickly talk about, just kind of that decision to return to the game, I guess, because you had been away for a little bit.
For sure. I'd been away from the game for actually 5 years, but I always wanted to come back and play. I just didn't think it would be a possibility. And as much as it looks like it was out of nowhere that I came back, I actually kind of was working towards it for a bit and had an idea that I might be able to make the comeback. So it was about a little over 6 months in the making that, like, I knew I might be coming back and started, like, training hard to, like, get back in shape and get ready to come back.
Yeah, no doubt. Of course, like, for the fans and the viewers, it's like, we got one brother and then all of a sudden the other joins on, so... For us, it was like, of course, you do what you can to get ready to be in shape for the game. And it is crazy that you can be away for a bit and make that return.
For sure. Well, playing lacrosse is the first sport I ever played. I've been playing since I was like three, four years old and put so much time into practicing growing up. So it's like riding a bike, once you get back out there. I was a little nervous at first and definitely not right back up to speed with where I used to be, but even though I was off so long, it feels so natural. Like, if there's one thing I know how to do in my life, it's play lacrosse. That's what I've always done since I was so little, so
yeah.
It was easy after a couple games to kind of get back in the swing of things.
That's cool, man. Definitely interesting to hear that. But like you said, it's been a long road, and you've been playing since you were a little kid. And again, before we'll talk a little bit more about, coming back and stuff, but I'm sure growing up, you're always a big sports kid, obviously lacrosse, probably football and everything else in between, right?
Oh yeah. I played every sport growing up, pretty much travel lacrosse every summer, travel hockey in the winter, played a ton of basketball and school basketball, and then football, and played university football, did a little track and field in high school too. Mostly field events, just like throwing stuff. But I was always playing like every sport growing up.
Yeah. Yeah, just like every kid in Windsor, just doing everything else at the front. And especially hockey. Of course, everyone plays hockey. So,
For sure.
I figured you did all that. And again, especially lacrosse players are more than one dimensional and can have many different skills. And before, we're going to talk about everything with lacrosse, but while you were away, you were doing a lot of stuff in music and yoga, I believe. So I imagine always a kind of musically invested person, right?
Yeah. Like, I actually first played piano when I was, like, 5, 6 years old. Like, I started taking piano lessons, and then I also took, like, drum lessons growing up, too. Oh, cool. So I was always kind of into music. And then when I was unable to play lacrosse for a while, and I had some issues with my knee and stuff, and I had some surgery. So, like, I spent a lot of time not really even being able to walk, sitting at home. So in that time was when I kind of really started getting back into music. I hadn't done it in a while, but I always did have a passion for it. So I started getting back into, like, music production, and then got into audio engineering as well. But it was something that I've always loved.
Yeah, just like a passion, kind of passion project that you make into, could have made into something more, I guess, right?
For sure. Like, lacrosse was, like, a big passion for me and something that I loved doing. But then, like, when that was kind of taken away, it was, like, I needed to find somewhere else to redirect that energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool, man. And what a way to do it. Like you said, you played piano, and they say, you know, playing piano, you can pretty much do any instrument from there, right? Like, I mean, they go kind of hand in hand. So obviously that can transpire into the behind the scenes kind of stuff of music.
Oh, for sure. Once you kind of understand, like, playing piano and, like, different rhythms, timing, like, I feel like piano and drums, well, piano is a percussion instrument as well, right? So, like, there is a lot of, like, with anything, there's a lot of rhythm and timing. But between those two, I really got that down. And then piano will teach you, like, a lot of different scales, chords. So you can, like, kind of, from having that bass, it's a really good bass to kind of start learning how to put, like, proper sounds together. And, like, I don't know, I got really into making beats and, like, mixing and stuff. And I feel like piano was a great background for getting into that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, if you listen closely to every song, you're going to hear some piano or some drums or something, right?
Oh, for sure. Or if you play piano, like, now, like, the way beats are produced, like, you can plug a piano into your laptop and play any instrument off the piano. So as long as you have a little understanding of how to play the piano, mess around, you can use that to make, like, any sound and clicking in notes on your computer screen and stuff. So it's like, once you have a little understanding of that and you just train your ear a bit, and you can really use that knowledge to help you do, like, anything in music.
That's really cool, man. Really cool stuff. And are you still involved and still doing stuff, or?
Yeah, I've kind of been taking a little break from that stuff just because, like, getting back into lacrosse is really busy. And I'm also going back to school.
Okay.
I'm going back to University of Windsor for computer science. I already did kinesiology there before. But I'm going back into computer science, so I've been, like, kind of doing some prep stuff for that, and taking a little break off music. But it's still something that I want to, like, continue doing throughout my life, but just taking a little break right now.
Yeah, and again, a passion that you have, and something that just something kind of cool you've been able to do, right? And I did see on your Instagram some songs that you produced and stuff, but I'm sure there's some cool stuff that really sticks out to you. Like, who are some people that you've been able to maybe work for, or some stuff you're kind of proud of that you've done?
Probably the coolest stuff, like, I really haven't had any songs with big artists and stuff, which is, like, I definitely would like to work with some, like, more known artists eventually, but, like, something that was really cool to me was I got to, meet and work with Manny Fresh, who was, like, a rapper who I was, like, a big fan of as a kid, and he was, like, Lil Wayne's main DJ and producer on Lil Wayne's Come Up, so I got to, like, through a beat battle I was in Toronto called Battle of the Beatmakers, I got to meet Manny, and then he was the judge, and I did well. He liked my stuff, ended up getting flown out to his house and, like, made beats with him out there and stuff, and one of the producers he brought out from that beat battle actually ended up getting a song on Lil Wayne's album Funeral called Mahogany, and it was a pretty big hit, so it was cool to just be in that environment and even have those chances, but just chilling with Manny and meeting him was, like, really fulfilling to me, because he was, like, someone who I listened to a ton of his music as a kid, and, like, never in my wildest dreams would I have thought I would be, like, making music with him one day, like, chilling at his house, like, big mansion in Houston, and just, like, I don't know, the life he's living was just so cool, and he's, like, such a chill, like, laid back, down to earth dude. So, like, meeting Manny and working with him was just unreal. Such a cool experience.
That's sick, man. That's really cool. Again, just the perks to anything that you can really do, you know. So we got to, you know, hear what you did in music. And you know, before we get into, you know, what you've been able to do in lacrosse, again, kind of going back to the beginning, you know, playing all the sports growing up, again, travel lacrosse obviously led you to playing for our Clippers, and, you know, always cool to play for your hometown team, right?
Oh, for sure. I loved playing for the Clippers because it was, like, all my buddies I played with growing up, and then, like, all my friends could come to the games and stuff, and, like, playing for the Clippers was just, like, a huge goal of mine. When I was a kid, like, sure, I always wanted to be a pro lacrosse player, but, like, I never really went to too many pro games. Like, the Clippers was, like, all – I would always go to Clippers games, yeah. And, like, growing up, I'm like, I want to play for the Clippers one day, you know? And then, like, getting older and, like, playing for them was a really cool experience for sure. And it was, like, a big stepping stone to, like, on my way to being able to play pro.
Oh, 100%. And same thing you talked about with your brother and many other lacrosse players in the past that have played for the Clippers. I mean, a storied franchise, right? So, I mean, it's cool to play for your hometown team, but also, a good team at times. So, you know, oh, best of both worlds, right?
Yeah, Windsor has had a very successful Junior B lacrosse program for a long time. And I actually think, like, there's an underrated history of lacrosse in Windsor. Like, yes. I had some really old-school coaches that who are, like, played in, like, the 60s, 70s on, like, good Windsor, like, Senior B and teams and stuff. And, like, the stories they tell me from playing at the Barn downtown back in the day, yeah. Just absolutely crazy. Like, crazy yeah. brawls, like, goalies coming out of their net and playing offense. Like, all these crazy things. Like, they had, like, I just hear the craziest stories. And I love, like, the history of lacrosse. And it's just cool, like, hearing that, I don't know, playing for all these awesome coaches in Windsor and being a part of that, I don't know, the history of Windsor lacrosse.
Oh, 100%, man. And like I agree. I mean, it's completely historic stuff that's happened right here in our own backyard kind of thing, right? And that's the thing about going to the games as a kid. All the old guys would be telling you stories about, you know, like you're saying, at the Barn and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, it made it feel like it was a big deal, right?
Yeah, 100%. I had some old school coaches who played, like, at the professional level when the leagues were just starting. And then I had some coaches who played, like, at North Carolina, Maryland and stuff, and played professional, won national championships in, like, Division I NCAA. So, like, I had some really cool coaches that came out of Windsor, and, like, it was just them telling me all their old-timer stories about coming up playing lacrosse in Windsor and then going here and there were, like, really inspiring to me. So, like, I always loved playing for Windsor. I don't know. I feel like Windsor has a cool lacrosse history.
Absolutely. I entirely agree with that, man. It's kind of hard to explain because, again, it's still kind of under wraps and still have people going far in, you know, like you said, NCAA or pro from Windsor and just kind of under wraps, you know?
Yeah, there was, for a long time, I feel like back in the day, like, there used to be a team called Detroit Turbos in the National Lacrosse League. So, like, in that time and a little bit before that, there was a lot of good lacrosse in Windsor and guys making it to the pros. But then for a long time, Windsor's lacrosse team kind of fell off and wasn't as...
Yeah.
I feel like there wasn't too many players going pro for a while. Like, for me, like, the only one I remember in any recent times before me was Brett Hickey, and that was, like, 6 years before me.
Oh, yeah.
And then
true.
5 years before me. Before him, I don't know who the last one was, you know? But then after I made it, like, a bunch of younger kids, like, ended up kind of taking the same route as me. Like, I got up to Six Nations Junior A, which would be the equivalent to, like, Windsor Spitfires in hockey. So I played there. And then all of a sudden, they just started taking a bunch of kids from Windsor, and then we had, like, a bunch of people get drafted pro. So it was cool to kind of see the resurgence of, like, a bunch of people from Windsor getting a chance in the pros.
Yeah. No, it really helps me for what I'm doing here. So it's really cool to see. And we have four guys, right? I mean, you, your brother, Brett, and Josh. So at least four
Josh
guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is cool seeing, again, like, you know, always talking about the Windsor sports, Windsor pride and stuff like that. We have, you know, everyone, or at least one person in every major sport pretty much, and a flood of Windsorites in lacrosse, and, you know, like you said, just the history of it, so it's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, for sure, it's awesome, and it's really cool. Like, lacrosse is not maybe as well known of a sport as a lot of these other sports, but it's sick to have some guys coming from Windsor and making it, because it is still, like, pretty hard to make, and it's been a long time since there was really, like, a good amount of guys from Windsor in the NLL, so
yeah.
It's pretty sweet to be a part of that.
Yeah, it's cool to see. I mean, we'll talk about it too, but a good time for the league, and you also mentioned it, you know, playing for the Six Nations Arrows. I mean, that's like I always say, that's where you want to be if you're a junior lacrosse player, right? So what was that experience like for you?
Talk about lacrosse history. That's the place where, like,
fair enough.
It really feels like you're, like, living that life. Like, because living there, it's like I'm playing with all these guys that their families have been playing for, like, hundreds, if not, like, 1,000 years, you know? Like, the history there is crazy. All these kids, it's like, it's like in their blood, you know. They all played like their whole lives, their parents played their whole lives. So going there, like, I really learned so much about lacrosse and gained like a new level of respect for the game. And like, I had like, playing for Six Nations, I'd always have an extra chip on my shoulder, like knowing that I'm like representing Six Nations, you know, because lacrosse is an indigenous sport, goes back like 1,000 years, and like, it would just make me want to play like that much harder and better to like just have the honor of wearing that jersey repping Six Nations.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it's just, well, when we talk about the history of Windsor, I mean, it's nothing compared to you know, on the reserve. So
for sure,
you know, and again, sure, just where you want to be for that sport, I mean, to grow.
Yeah, it's funny because Six Nations, it is the biggest native reserve in Canada. Like, it has like 30,000 people, but that's still not much compared to like a lot of the other like good teams we're playing. But we still won a national championship when I was there, and my brother won one too. So it's, yep, just like a testament to how much like lacrosse is in their culture, and in, it's like they're born with, like, I don't know,
they're
born for it, they're made for it, you know. They know, they're like, Six Nations is loves lacrosse.
Yeah,
like, they're so good there.
No, awesome, legit
playing there.
That's yeah, I know, hit the nail on the head with that one, that's for sure, man. And again, just the vital experience that would lead you to obviously getting drafted. And you know, that would have been 2015. So I think like around that same time is when you would have been going to the university and playing football, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah. So I actually got drafted in my third year of playing football at the university. And I didn't play a fourth year because of that. Like, once I got drafted, I was like, all right, I'm just going to take a a break and focus on lacrosse, because football is tough. Like, football and lacrosse are the two roughest sports I've played 100%. Like, yeah, football is probably the most injuries, but lacrosse is not far behind. Like, there's a reason we only play one game a week in the NLL, usually, you know? Like, I feel like part of that is injuries, because, like, people have talked about, like, expanding the league. Like, I don't want to get too off topic, but, like, NHL is, like, 82 games. Like, I don't know if you could ever play 82 lacrosse games. Like, you'd be cheap, like, because there's just so much like whacking, slashing, cross-checking. It's tough. But between that and football, I had to kind of take a break from football because I felt like I was always getting hurt and injured, and it was throwing off my training for lacrosse. And I really, to get up to speed for pros, I had a lot of practice and work to do with my lacrosse stuff. So I just kind of took time off football and focused on that. But I feel like the strength training and like footwork and like everything I learned in football, and like learning how to like properly use your body, hit people, and like that stuff all translated so much into lacrosse.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Defense.
Absolutely true. Yeah, I mean, we talk about the underratedness of the sport. I mean, obviously underratedness and tough and like roughness as well, right? A lot of people might not realize in the game of lacrosse.
Oh, for sure. Lacrosse is a super physical sport. Like,
yeah,
I've played pretty much every sport. Like, rugby's one that I haven't played that I'm sure is super rough too. But like,
yeah,
lacrosse, you're so sore after a game every time.
Yeah, well, minimal protection and maximum, you know, freedom to do what you want.
For sure. You're taking a metal stick and just whacking each other with it. Even if guys don't even have to have the ball, like, it kind of, when it sets up on, like, offense, defense, it's kind of like, so it seems a lot similar to hockey, right? In the,
yep,
transition and,
sure,
like, a lot of the rules and the hand-eye coordination. But the way it's set up on offense, defense, when you kind of set up, is a lot like basketball. There's a lot of pick and roll, set plays. But it's like basketball, but when you're guarding your guy, you have a metal stick in your hands, and you can cross-check them as hard as you want in the arm, right?
So, like, a little different,
all,
yeah,
games, you're just, like, battling with people back and forth, and, like, they're trying to set hard picks on you, and you're just fighting the whole game. Like, so it gets really heated, like, the guys you're guarding. Like, imagine basketball, but where you're allowed to throw some elbows, you're allowed to give them a shot in the ribs or whatever, you know? So it's, like,
yeah, man,
kind of set up like that, but then with a lot of contact. So it's pretty tough. Sure.
Yeah, dude. And, you know, not to get like jump too far ahead, but obviously returning this season has been a great season for the exposure of the game, growing a bit, and you know, obviously being on TSN is pretty obviously cool.
Yeah,
and
for
you know,
sure. It's huge.
Yeah, watching, yeah, it with people too, like, sometimes they're like, they can hit them like that, like, what the fuck, right? So people don't realize,
yeah,
right?
People that haven't seen lacrosse are always so confused. They're like, you can do that when,
yeah,
you see, like,
you can cross check,
like, some highlights. I'm like, yeah,
that's a 5-minuter,
like,
you know. Yeah. So yeah, it must be cool though, you know, obviously talked about it with your brother too, to see the game grow a bit and, you know, get some games on TSN.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's awesome. Because lacrosse is like, it's such a sick sport, but it's really just like never took off the way I feel like it can and the way it deserves to. Yep. Because like people, it's exciting, you know, it really is an exciting and fun sport. And I feel like if it just gets enough airtime that people see it, it might give it more of a chance to get some more fans and make a little bit more of a buzz. And I feel like it is such a fun sport to like be at games and watch. So being on TSN and on ESPN in the States kind of gives us that opportunity to draw in some more fans and just get seen by the world a bit more.
Yeah, and it is popular in the States as well, obviously, too, right? So it's not like it's just here in Canada. And it is cool. I mean, I like to go to a game a year if I can. And I like the thing, you know, Paul Bissonnette did with Vancouver a few years ago. It looks like they have good times there, right? So sometimes it just takes a little bit just to get some eyes on it. And obviously that helped a bit. And just anything to grow the game is it looks like it's a fun time, you know, at some of the games.
Oh, for sure. Calgary's motto is come for the party, stay for the game. Like,
that's
it's a good
awesome.
Time out here. Like, they throw bangers out here. So it's fun. It's a really cool atmosphere.
That's awesome, man. And again, so talking about, you know, kind of returning to the league and a little bit of differences, let's go back to that first year with them. So one thing I was going to kind of ask too, because you kind of touched upon it, playing with the University of Windsor, playing football, you get drafted and you're like, that's where I'm going. Obviously, there's no other thoughts to do anything else, and stepped into the league and had a season with Calgary. So let's go through that first year a little bit, what you remember.
Oh man, that was such a cool year, because at the start, so the summer leading up to that, I was playing Junior B, then got invited to try out for Six Nations, AP'd at the start of the year, and by the end of the year, they gave me the Most Improved Player Award for Six Nations, and we won the national championship, and then I was in the NLL draft right after that, a year early. So within a year, I went from playing Junior B lacrosse to going pro, a year early, you know, which was just like absolutely insane, like really rare to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Especially as a defender, because like if someone goes pro straight from Junior B, it's because they see they have a ton of points. But for a defender, it was like a pretty crazy year for me, a crazy transition. So it was unreal getting drafted and then going out to Calgary. And like before that year, I almost thought like I always wanted to play the pro lacrosse since I was like 4 years old, but I kind of like never knew if I'd be able to make it, you know, like you never. It's true. Still like, although it's not as big of a sport as like hockey, basketball, there's still like so many really good athletes, and it's still very hard to make it to the pros. So like it's just like being able to make it and like break that barrier and make it to the NLL, it just felt like surreal getting flown out to Calgary and then starting training camp. And like it was a huge skill jump. Like by the time you're playing with the pros, it's like you might have one guy you played against in your area growing up who was like the best guy, like that's every guy in pro, like everyone's like the best guy growing up, you know, like all these guys, like a lot of them have played like OHL hockey or like different sports, like just got drafted to the CFL. There's like a lot of guys that are like really good multi-sport athletes, so it's just like once you get out there, everyone's just an absolute beast and like really athletic. So it was a big jump because I was used to kind of just using my size and strength to like overpower people and just being a football meathead on defense. But then I get out to Calgary and I'm like 6'4", 220, like, and I get out there and everyone's like 6'4", like 210 on defense. They're like pretty big guys, you know, so I'm just like one of 10 guys that size now. So it's like there was a big change, and I just really had to start working on my conditioning, my stick skills, and just like, I don't know, I had to work, instead of relying on my strength, I had to start working more on my weaknesses and become a better, more well-rounded player, like smarter player.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, again, I mean, it's your rookie year, right? So obviously lots of stuff to learn and go through. And I believe some injuries, like you kind of mentioned as well, a knee injury. So I'm sure that's kind of what started to lead your way.
I could probably recap the rookie year better. My bad if I'm getting a little off topic. But anyways, going in, I played like 13 games. It went really well for me, honestly. I had a pretty good rookie campaign, but then it was the second year that I hurt my knee in training camp.
Yeah.
And I was actually doing like really well in like the best shape of my life and coming in like really improved from my first year. And in the summer between that time, I actually won another national championship with a Six Nations Senior A team, which is like a league. It's called Major Series Lacrosse, yep. which is like a lot of guys play in the off season from pro. There's like yep. a lot of really good pro players, and we won that championship. And I got a lot better that summer, so I was coming back like expecting to have a really good season in the NLL. Then got hit on a tough hit. It was a rough play. I got smoked by some guy in a preseason game and tore my ACL and my meniscus and fractured my femur.
Oof.
Yeah, it was a big injury.
Jesus,
and then
car crash.
Yeah, so after the successful rookie campaign, I got taken out right at the start of the second year and missed the whole year.
Yeah.
Got surgery in Calgary.
Yeah, so that's kind of what kind of started to lead you kind of completely away from it for a little bit, right? So was there like a decision, or just how did that kind of happen, I suppose?
So I wanted to get back into lacrosse like the yeah. next year, so I actually came out to Calgary and was like rehabbing, living out in Calgary and working out here for a lacrosse company, and I was supposed to come back and play like midway through the year, but I ended up noticing that I was starting to have some heart palpitations like all the time consistently. Oh. and ended up going to the team doctor and we had to get a bunch of testing done, and they found out that I had a heart condition, and I wasn't allowed to play anymore by the league. Like, I had to retire. So once I finally got my knee right, I had my heart condition come up, and it was called dilated cardiomyopathy. I basically have an enlarged heart, mm-hmm. and the walls are like thinner. It had a lot of like palpitations going on. PVCs, they're called, premature ventricular contractions, and it wasn't pumping efficiently. Like, my ejection fraction was low, which is like the percentage of blood that your heart pumps per beat. It should be for an athlete like up above 60%, and I was down around like 45%.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so then that's when I, between the knee and that happening, that's when I took the really long layoff. I really got into yoga because it was something that I could do with my knee injury that was safe, and it helped me rehab. And then once I had the heart issue and I was kind of supposed to take it a little bit easier on physical exercise, yoga was something that I could still do that was like challenging, but it was like a little bit more tame than what I was used to doing, like weightlifting and running and like yeah. all this different type of stuff. So that's how I got into that.
Okay, I see. And obviously that was kind of the life you led for a few years, you know, doing the music, the yoga, and just, you know, whatever else. And obviously your brother being in Calgary now, obviously a factor to wanting to start to return, but did you start to see some improvements in your health that would have made it possible?
Yeah. So, like, I always wanted to return, but, like, I thought, just from, like, what the doctors were telling me and the way I even felt, I just thought I wouldn't be able to return.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know, it was a tough time, and I was going through a lot of stuff with my health at that time, and, like, it just seemed like all hope of ever playing again was like pretty much gone. Like, a lot of people don't come back to play sports from what I have with dilated cardiomyopathy. So it was a tough situation, but after a few years of being on the proper medications, my arrhythmias kind of started to correct themselves. My heart started beating more normally, and every 6 months I was having checkups in London with a specialist, and they could see that each time, like, my heart function was starting to get better and better. So then it got to the point where about 6 months ago, it was getting so much better, to the point that, like, he told me, this doctor, he actually, like, worked with the UFC before, works with a lot of athletes, and has, like, cleared people to return from heart conditions before. And he told me, basically, like, I can't say for sure, but, like, the way things are going, we might be able to clear you to play eventually. Like,
wow.
We never thought we would be able to before, but it's pretty rare, but, like, we might be able to have you come back.
Yeah.
So at that point, I started getting back into weightlifting, running a lot, biking, work, just being more active, getting my stick in my hand, practicing lacrosse a lot, and just in case I'd be able to come back, even though it was still like really up in the air and kind of unlikely. But then I went back for my next test, which was about a couple months ago now, and finally everything was up to par. Like, my ejection fraction was back up to like 65%, which is above average, and everything was going really well. I had to do some more tough testing where I had to, like, basically run full blast on a treadmill for like half hour, get all my heart tested, my breathing, and like push myself a lot. Like, some of the tests, like, they literally have the cardiologist telling me, like, I had to consent that, like, you could have like sudden cardiac arrest with what you have, like the tests we're doing. We don't think you will, but like that's a risk. So like there are some risks you have to take, but I was already running full blast on my own at trails at home. So now I'm like in a hospital with doctors. I'm like, this is a piece of cake now, whatever. And I just did all the tests and passed everything. Got out to Calgary, passed all the testing out here as well with 13 doctors and cardiologists, and was cleared to come back to playing. So then, from the time I had that last checkup in London to the time I got cleared and was in a game was about 2.5 weeks. And I was my coaches, they gave me one practice. I've been off for 5 years, one practice, and the next day I played.
Holy crap.
It was a rough first game, but I did better than I thought I would for being off for 5 years.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure, man. That's crazy. I was not expecting, like, any of that, to be honest. So that's pretty wild, man. Inspirational story for sure. You know, you hear these stories a lot for heart conditions or neck injuries that people are sidelined, and then God knows how many years they're able to return. And I just didn't know, you know, you were one of them. It's pretty crazy stuff, man.
For sure. It's honestly crazy. I don't know how I got so lucky. I feel like a lot of it has to do with luck.
You gotta be thankful.
I definitely treated my body really well and did like a lot of, I was really healthy, exercised a ton, like probably way more than I should have, but like, which could be dangerous for some people, you know, so I couldn't like recommend anything I did that's like for sure like worked out, but I don't know, I just tried to listen to my doctors for the, other than my physical activity, but took my medication, got lucky, and like somehow was able to get to the point where I was healthy enough to come back. But I don't, it's crazy how yeah. life works, and like I don't know, I felt like I getting clear to play, it was just such an unreal feeling. I felt like I got my life back, like yeah. for so long, like I lived a certain type of life, like being an athlete, like I had kind of my life planned in my head what I wanted to do, and then when I got lacrosse taken away, it kind of like flipped my life upside down. Like a lot of my, like outside of lacrosse, I had like career things I wanted to do as well that involved like physical activity, and like it kind of changed my path a lot, but I think it was for the best. I learned a lot, gained some knowledge, wisdom, and just like learned from people in different walks of life, went through a lot of cool experiences, and then now I'm back and have a second chance to play lacrosse and kind of live that life that I was set on before.
Wow. That's unbelievable, man. That is a crazy story, but just really cool too. And you know, of course, we got to kind of wrap it up with you know, you're back with all that. You know, that's a great comeback story for you, and you get to play with your brother at the highest level on the same team. You know, doesn't happen too often, so I'm sure that's a lot of fun.
It's unreal, honestly. It's like it's a dream. Like me and my brother, both since we were little kids, wanted to play pro lacrosse like our whole lives, and then like now. There's like 15 teams in the league, and we're both playing on the same team together in Calgary. After like everything, like I kind of went through, like not thinking mm-hmm. I'd be able to play, and then being back with him is just like unreal for us. So it's really cool. It's awesome.
Yeah, man. And especially bumps in the road with the pandemic and stuff, stopping things. So to have it back is awesome, and to everyone, it's like everyone's back together. You know, all the boys are back in town,
for
kind
sure.
of thing. You know.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's really cool. And it's really cool to, you know, just tell your whole story again. You know, you always learn, I always learn some good things, crazy things about guests, sometimes after. And obviously this one learned a lot about you. And it was cool to tell your story, man. So appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Everyone has a cool story. So that's why podcasts are so awesome. I love listening, and I'm happy to be able to be a part of one and share mine.
Huge thanks goes out to Kellen LeClaire of the Calgary Roughnecks lacrosse team, professional lacrosse team. Watch him on TSN, as we talked about, and listen to his brother, Liam LeClaire, on a couple episodes back, I think episode 248, not too long ago. No, I had to have been. Anyway, at the beginning of the year, we had Liam, his younger brother, on, so obviously two brothers playing their sport together. You know, pretty rare thing to happen, and again, for two guys from Windsor, to be on the same team. And what a story. What crazy story. I had no idea. Like I figured there was some reason that he decided to step away, and didn't really know why he stepped back, I guess, was the real kicker in that whole story. Some crazy stuff that you don't hear every day, but you do hear about athletes, and to have that inspirational story from a guy here in Windsor really made for a good Wind City Sports podcast. So thanks a lot to Kellen again for taking the time to do that. I wish they were playing in the same division as the Toronto Rock, so we could, you know, go to a game up in Hamilton. But hopefully next season we'll be able to catch them on an away game, or go out there and watch a game. But nevertheless, let's get into some local sports news to wrap up this this edition of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Kick things off with Windsor Express, another loss, this time to a TBL team, the first time they lost to a TBL team, and a close one. 108-100, final score, didn't see the game, but that's a stinger for sure, and that's that sent them off into the All-Star weekend over the Easter holiday here. They were out in Syracuse, New York. Looked like a fun, cool event, and we had three Windsor Express members represent the NBL of Canada, and Ja'Kai Taylor, of course, Billy White, and Marcus Anderson making All-Star appearances, and Ja'Kai Taylor being part of the dunk competition, and the other three all being part of the game against the TBL. Going forward, they're going to be here at the WFCU Center this Wednesday as they rematch the Sudbury Five, the last team that they played at the WFCU exactly 2 weeks prior, losing to overtime in that one. Very devastating evening for Wind City. And rematch is set for this Wednesday. And before it is the Skilled Trades Expo for kids in grades 7 to 12. Come on out. Get some free knowledge on some skilled trades and really help you in the future. And through that, you get a free ticket to the game, a ticket for your parent or guardian, and a food voucher for hot dog and pop, I believe. So come on out, free basketball game, and hopefully be making some good coin in the future. It's definitely worth it. So that being said, in regards to Windsor Express and NBL Canada, they announced their top 10 players of all time. And we have, I think it's four or five rather current or Windsor Express alumni on the team. Some had been announced throughout the last couple weeks that we talked about, but coming in at number four is Brandon Robinson, a former Windsor Express, announced earlier this week. Prior to him, Billy White, a current Windsor Express player and the reigning MVP, the reigning defending most valuable player of the NBL of Canada. And below him at number six is a former Windsor Express and Ryan Anderson, a fantastic guy. Episode 125 of Wind City Sports. And below him is another current Windsor Express and seven-time NBL of Canada champion, Quinnell Brown, one of the greatest to ever do it in the league. And I believe that is it. So four Windsor Express on the top 10 of all time. So pretty cool stuff. I guess we don't have a ton of, or better yet, any really good Lancer or St. Clair Saints news to talk about. We've obviously talked about our our Express and Spitfires, but in other hockey news, the PJHL Stop Division Junior C Finals wrapped up this weekend in a thrilling Game 6 overtime fashion as the Lakeshore Canadiens defeated the Essex 73s. To win the Stops division, they go on to provincial, and eventually, hopefully, get their way to the Schmaltz Cup. They're set to play the North Middlesex Stars starting this week. First game is, I think, Friday out in North Middlesex, and probably Saturday or Sunday at the Alice Tube Center. And we missed it, but the LaSalle Vipers were eliminated in another thrilling Game 7. As they lost to the St. Mary's and Lincolns and lose in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs. So better luck next year for the Vipers. The Canadiens still going strong, and we're set for our OHL playoffs this Thursday. And I guess not as much sports news, local sports news to talk about as thought, but we do well talk about some UFC to wrap things up here on the Wind City Sports Podcast, or some MMA, better yet. But TJ Laramie stepped back into the octagon on Saturday for UFC Fight Night at the UFC Apex in Las Vegas, and losing by a unanimous decision against Pat Sabatini. Kind of surprising after having lost his other UFC bouts. We thought, you know, this was a big redemption comeback, and obviously a lot of his teammates thought the same thing. But a close battle. And a decision loss. So very respectful is TJ Laramie coming out of this one, and hoping the best for him in the future. See what might be next. As we have more Windsorites stepping back into the cage, Kyle Prepperlich soon enough, I'm sure. But Randy Field this Saturday will be competing. Bellator 279 is going to be coming all the way from Hawaii, actually. And Randy is on the preliminary card. You can actually watch it, stream it on YouTube. She's going to be taking on Mariah Miller in a replacement matchup for Miller. Obviously, Randy being the replacement for her previous opponent. And yeah, so, you know, 2 weeks in a row, Windsorites in the cage, the octagon, MMA. But anyway, that is all this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here every Monday with a brand new episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, anywhere they're found, including Spotify, iTunes, and more. Check us out on social media at WindCity_sports. Give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be. Subscribe on the YouTube channel as well. Tell your friends, family, teammates, training partners about the Wind City Sports Podcast, and give us a review or rating on any app you might use. And you can also follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram. But until next time, smell you later.